This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
These are exciting times, ladies and gentlemen. In this first segment, Chris O'Brien's going to tell us about a new cattle mutilation case. A little bit later, we'll hear from Chris Rutkowski, the Canadian UFO researcher, about his survey of 25 years of reports. Of course, when you talk about UFOs, one of the issues that Robert Shaver raised last week was the reliability of eyewitness testimony, because the skeptic will assume it's all conventional and the eyewitnesses are just plain wrong. Now, a couple of things to mention about that, and I won't dwell on it. Number one, I wrote to Kathleen Marden, who is Betty Hill's niece, and she'll probably be on the show in the next few weeks. But in any case, she remarked that in general, Shaver misrepresents the facts about the Hill case to prove his point. That's one thing. The second thing, of course, is that we have this disagreement, apparently, between Micah Hanks and Robert Shaver, because Hanks, in talking with Shaver, got the impression he believed that a lot of the people who report UFOs are lying. When we posed that question to him last week, well, maybe some are. So we have two testimony versions here. And if Shaver's right, that you can't believe a person's testimony, well, why should we believe him? Why should we believe what he has to say or his version of facts if what people say is unreliable? I put that to you, Chris.
Well, boy, you got to go out and actually do field work to really get a sense of how people's memories can fade, how their recollections can differ from one person to the next in a group that had a singular event occur to them. You just can't sit back in your armchair and make sweeping pronouncements about very fundamental elements such as this. And I think it does someone with a half a brain on their shoulders a disservice to make sweeping pronouncements like that.
I think the big problem also about this is he tries to paint this all with a broad brush. He gives you casual, very simple versions of cases, some of which, as we pointed out with the Rendlesham case, are just plain wrong. And then he says, well, there's nothing to it. Now, I understand we should be skeptical because we have a problem in the UFO field where some people accept everything, which you can't do. And I think those who really look at the subject carefully are going to admit that over 90% of the reports of UFOs can be explained by conventional means. But what about the other 10%? The other thing is that UFO researchers, when they really dwell into an important case, they want the ones with multiple witnesses so you can account for the variations and look for the consistencies.
Yeah, good point.
So anyway, it's not that we're not going to ever have Shaver on the show again. He's a nice guy. And I'm sure he believes everything that he says, but that's where you go. Speaking of testimony, this cattle mutilation case that you and David Perkins are looking into, can you tell us more?
I can. These cases occurred about 13 miles northeast of Walsenburg, Colorado, which is between Trinidad, which is on the border with New Mexico, right on I-25. Between Trinidad and Pueblo, Colorado. It's the next county east of the San Luis Valley counties of Costilla and Alamosa. And these animals were found, two of them were found, I believe, on August 8th, and then another six animals were discovered the following weekend. We have a veterinary report that's pending, that's coming out. There's eyewitness accounts, here we go again, a very unusual helicopter activity the night of these reports, and also unusual object sightings, as many as a dozen possibly, in one particular account. Some of the helicopter activity is in my mind, very theatrical. In one case, the night of, I think, the second weekend of the 16th, again, I'm not totally familiar with the exact details of what happened when. I'm still kind of getting myself up to speed. But we have a very interesting account of at least four military-style helicopters shining spotlights on the ground, and in one instance actually shining into a rancher's house, waking his wife up, and they both ran out to check it out. This is highly unusual, this case. There's elements from last March of lasers being pointed at airplanes from the ground, and coordinates by the FAA being forwarded to Huerfano County authorities, who were dispatched when this happened again the following week. Again, this is back in March. And it's maybe just a coincidence, but the animals that were found mutilated in one of these two groups were in the same pasture as the coordinates from someone painting civilian aircraft from the ground with a fairly high-powered laser. So there's some pretty interesting elements here, and the sheriff's department is taking all this very, very seriously. Ex-sheriff Lou Giroto, who, of course, was made famous in Linda Howe's movie A Strange Harvest, one of the few law enforcement officials that have come forward and said he thinks that these animals are being mutilated from aliens from outer space. Lou is now in his mid to late 80s. He's getting up there in years, but he's getting involved here. And we have, obviously, this article coming out in the Huerfano World Journal, which would have come out Thursday before the show here. And as with many, many cases of this type, when you have a large number of animals like this in a single case, there's a probability, I would say beyond a possibility, that other cases are occurring and not being reported. Once this hits the media, you know, invariably these cases come out, people start talking. So, you know, this is an ongoing investigation. I am kind of scooping David a little bit by a few hours here. We're taping on Wednesday before the show that airs on Sunday. So by the time the show airs, this is really going to, I think, go all over the net and probably go international. This is quite a number of animals to be reported in a single week from a single small area.
Now, in general, if someone has a situation like this, a rancher encounters some kind of episode of this nature, where do they go? Do they go to the local police? Is that the only place?
Yeah, generally the call is filed with the local sheriff. We're talking about $14,000 worth of cattle here, so this is a lost investment. One of the ranchers is a very large rancher. There were only 400 some odd head in this particular herd, but he has animals all over the West. He has the wherewithal and the means to have veterinarian pathology reports conducted and pathology exams to be conducted. So we are waiting to hear some toxicology results. One of the things that is very unusual is four of the animals were gone over with a metal detector. There was some question that maybe they had been shot. And, these are classic mutes in the sense that there's no footprints or tire tracks or any sort of evidence at the site. But this is a very good idea, actually, to go over the animals carefully with a metal detector. And four of the animals showed some sort of metal in the hip. But there was no visible means there's no bullet holes or anything like that that would indicate why that metal was there. The rancher thought perhaps they'd been darted and the darts had broken off and they just were unable to see them and locate them in the carcass. But, you know, the vet will obviously tell us whether that's true or not.
We'll have more to report about over the coming weeks. You can also check out our forums at forum.theparacast.com. Quick reminder, if you join our newsletter, our weekly PowerCast newsletter, by going to thepowercast.com and signing up, we'll email you a copy free of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris. Hundreds of people are signing up, so a lot of attention is certainly being drawn to that book. In any case, today Chris Rutkowski is going to talk about a report in which he was involved called UFOs Over Canada, 25 years of UFO reports. We'll talk about eyewitness testimony, the reliability and the best cases. A lot more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TECHNIGHTOWL for a special discount.
Mike Stenerson for Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have another Chris, Chris Rutkowski, longtime UFO investigator, and we'll talk about the survey in which he was involved, covering 25 years of Canadian UFO reports. Chris, welcome back to the Paracast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back.
Let's focus on the first topic of the discussion here. You listened to part of the episode last week with our friend Robert Schaefer. And Robert Schaefer is not impressed with UFOs, not impressed with eyewitness testimony. And as I mentioned to you, I remarked in our previous segment that if what people say can't be relied upon, how do we rely upon what he has to say? What's your reaction, Chris?
Well, there's no question that witness testimony is always a little suspect. I mean, the argument is that witness testimony is enough to get you slammed into Sing Sing or Alcatraz under most conditions. So that's true. However, what happens is that there are procedures, there's additional testimony, there's other evidence that's added into that. I mean, there's no question that one should doubt witness testimony in a lot of cases because we come to observations and life with our own biases. We come with a lot of extra baggage that does tend to color our views of things. I mean, one only has to look at divorce proceedings in a in a court when you hear what he said versus she said, and it gets pretty messy sometimes. And the truth is somewhere in the middle very often. So I'd have to say, yes, you should doubt witness testimony, and in fact, don't rely on it completely, in fact, exclusively. But one has to assume that people are observing something in order to generate the responses. So I sort of agree with Schaefer to a certain extent, and I'm sure he would agree with me on that as well. But the problem is that one has to accept certain things. I mean, one accepts, well, here's an example, bird watchers. You know, bird watching is a very big hobby, and people are always collecting notes and exchanging notes on what birds were seen, how many, and so forth. And ornithologists use this to supply information to biologists for understanding migration patterns. A lot of it actually has to do with climate change. And, you know, it really feeds into a lot of other sciences, even though bird watching by itself isn't a scientific discipline, although you certainly do collect bird watching data through good methodology. So those observations are generally accepted. But you know, by themselves, they may not mean a lot of things to people, but they are used in a lot of circumstances. So I'd have to say that UFO data, while certainly suspect, and one must be suspect of witnesses' observations, you know, they are valuable to a certain extent. And that's kind of what we looked at through our 25 years and also a recent study that I published this past week on analysis of satellite reentries versus UFOs. So there are a number of circumstances where witness testimony can be useful, and as long as it's useful but not exclusive to what you're talking about, I think we're fine.
So then, why do people like Robert Schaefer tend to get key details of a UFO case kind of screwed up? I was thinking of Rendlesham, where he didn't seem to understand that these people were close up to a landed UFO, and there were ill effects reported by people like John Burroughs and Peniston. It's like he thinks they made it up years later.
Well, that's the backstance of a lot of skeptics and debunkers, that it couldn't possibly happen, therefore it didn't. And even with regard to some of the studies that we put out, the Canadian UFO Survey, where we simply collect and record and analyze what people have reported, skeptics often say that, oh, those reports can't be true, or that your data is obviously suspect. Well, it's not suspect because it's data. It's the interpretation that is the problem. You know, in the case of Rendlesham, I mean, it's a very complicated case, and people come to that case from different approaches. Certainly the views of Peter Robbins and others with regard to Rendlesham have changed over the years, and there's a lot of debate as to what really happened and who's telling what and that type of thing. But there's no question that the incident occurred. Now, what that may be is another matter. And individuals who are, you know, avowed skeptics and debunkers will look at the evidence with the viewpoint that it couldn't possibly have happened. People are lying. People have made it up. How can we really interpret this in any other way? And sometimes when you throw the baby out with the bathwater like that, you're left with a very empty tub and there's nothing left to be seen at all, except maybe a ring. When you do that, you may be missing the point of the entire case. And I think there must be ways of handling cases without disavowing everything. I mean, I would not get very far if I'm interviewing a UFO witness about his or her experience, and my first point to make to the witness while I'm sitting there with him or her is, you know, I know you really didn't see this, but tell me what happened anyways. I mean, that's simply not going to work. So one really has to spend some time listening and trying to interpret the raw data without allowing your own biases to creep into it.
The key is to ask them what happened, not leave them on.
Absolutely, yeah. And that would be true in any situation, not just ufology, but it certainly is important in ufology.
Unfortunately, that's also the problem if you try to do hypnotic regression. It's all too easy to lead the person on and have them deliver the conclusion that you want.
Oh, and that is very, very important. I had the good fortune of working with individuals in Toronto during the MIT conference proceedings and that type of thing with regard to abductions and setting forth guidelines for abduction researchers. And it was very fascinating to sit down with some of the experts and the researchers who were laying out guidelines and recommendations for abduction researchers and therapists, most of whom simply didn't sign or acknowledge the guidelines and agreements. So it really went by the wayside. So it's a tricky, tricky issue and something that I think really does need to be hammered out.
Do you have a general opinion about abduction since the subject has come up? What do you think is happening to these people? The key thing I see, before you answer, is that in a number of cases, people who supposedly were unaware of other reports of abductions produce the same basic fundamental details.
Yes, there's no question of that. Over the course of, I guess I've been at this for 35, going on 40 years now, and I got into the abduction situation very early on when somebody came to me after one of my lectures back in the 80s. And I've been, I guess since then, have had individuals come to me or email me for whatever reasons over the past number of years. I actually created a support group for abductees here in Canada quite a long time ago now, one of the first ones, and I facilitated it. I did as much reading on the literature as possible, consulted with a number of individuals. I thought, well, it'd be interesting to see what happens, and I was concerned that they wouldn't, the individuals who came out wouldn't be getting any expert guidance otherwise. I was actually working with a clinical psychologist on this, and there's no question in my mind that ufology is the wrong avenue and the wrong field for dealing with abductions. And the reason I say that is that I encountered case after case where individuals were clearly experiencing distress, ranging from something as simple as anxiety and depression, either because of or as a consequence or leading into the experience, or things as serious as rape and physical injury.
Let's explore the final answer to that in our next segment. Chris Rutkowski will be covering 25 years of Canadian UFO research and more about his views as to abductions in our next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare by far and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide? Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and obtaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's www.brightsideben.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we're starting our focus with Chris Rutkowski on the Paracast with Gene and Chris on abductions. And before we broke, you had gotten into a discussion about some of the basics about the abductions. And maybe you want to continue in that vein?
Sure. And I was really just getting to the point that a lot of the individuals who had come to me ostensibly with an abduction story really had other issues, ranging from something as simple as anxiety or depression to something more serious, and a couple of cases of women who had experienced rape and other traumas. So this was completely beyond the purview of ufology, and so I felt completely obligated and then justified in referring them to psychologists and psychiatrists, not because I thought they were crazy, but because I thought that they certainly needed some help in dealing with some of the emotions and other health issues that were manifesting. In fact, the clinical psychologists that I was working with, their goal was to help relieve people's anxiety and other issues surrounding the belief that the aliens were abducting them or bothering them or keeping watch of them and that type of thing. And in doing so, helping the abductees themselves come to terms with what's going on and help them that way. So that was the approach that was being taken. And that's obviously beyond what many abduction researchers do. And have his backgrounds and skill sets. So for that reason, I tend to dissuade ufologists from getting involved in the abduction situation. You know, having said that, I mean, there's some people who are doing some work and have been doing some long-standing work, and that's fine. My own views about abductions in general, in my book, Abductions and Aliens, What's Going On, I cite case after case after case of people who've come to me for assistance and help. And my view is to treat them with compassion and understanding, to try and get to the source of what's going on. And there are cases where I simply have no idea what's going on. There are cases where I think people have had some traumas in their lives, and that has manifested in a number of ways. In fact, that's been proven true over and over. In fact, I postulated something called alien abduction syndrome, where some people, not all, some people believe they've been abducted for whatever reasons because of issues in their lives. And yet there are cases, in fact, in the 25-year study, which just came out last week, I cited one case, which a lot of people picked up on, of a nurse who told me a very unusual story about how she had come from from her shift working in a hospital. And she, you know, prefaced it by saying, look, you know, I am not into Star Trek and space operas and all that sort of stuff. I don't have time for TV and X-Files and all that thing. You know, I'm very, very busy and I don't have vivid dreams, but I had this weird experience. And she told me about how she had come home from a shift late at night in an apartment, come home, went into her bedroom, heard a noise outside, thinking it was a burglar, went into her living room and saw two creatures with round heads, very round eyes, very unusual, not typical at all for the classic aliens, but with long white robes and appeared to be mittens on their hands. And she thought perhaps they were Halloween pranksters or something like that. And yet, you know, these creatures talked to her telepathically, according to her, asked her if she wanted to go visit some planets with them, invited her to come with them. And then all of a sudden she remembered that she was immediately transported to a very large hangar where there were a number of craft, both cigar and disc, was led into one of the cigar craft, led down a long gangway into the front where there was a control room where she was sat between the two of them who manipulated dials and whatnot, and a screen in front of them showed that they were leaving Earth, traveling around a bit. And then the next thing she knows, she was back in her bedroom. It was about 3 or 4 hours later. She was sitting on her bed, not in her bed clothes. The bed had not been slept in, and she was completely puzzled as to what had occurred. And she simply, you know, reached out to me saying, can you explain what happened? Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, sure.
And the woman had no reason to make anything up. She was not seeking publicity. She, in fact, shunned interviews from media. It was very, very puzzling. So what do you do with cases like that? I've had cases where an Air Force officer came into my office, sought me out, and explained that he believed that he had been abducted by aliens, and he certainly couldn't tell his commanding officer about it. Lord knows the armed forces have their own problems these days. You know, and proceeded to tell me his experiences. When you get cases like that from people who are in professions where these things shouldn't happen, it really makes you wonder. So on the one hand, we have abduction cases that shouldn't and couldn't possibly happen, and yet we have a number of instances where we have people reporting these experiences. And I can't rationalize, I cannot justify dismissing all these cases out of hand, but I look at each one on a case-by-case basis, and I say, you know, I think there's some good science that can be done. I think there's some good studies that can be done, good research, and certainly the help should be there for individuals who have had such experiences and come forward with them.
Well, Chris, you've been at this for decades now, and do you see a gradual curtailing of abduction reports over the last, let's say, 10 years? Or is it burbling along at the same level? And when did you see an increase in abduction reports?
Well, that's let's see now. I'd have to say that abduction reports probably peaked in the 90s. There's no question that that's when the most cases that I encountered were. Things continued on well into the 2000s. And I think there's been a decline, but a radical shift in what we're seeing. What my experience has been is that we're seeing a lot of abductee cases, and now what we're seeing is that the abductions have shifted into a contactee phase, which is interesting because that's how they started. The contactees of the 50s and 60s disappeared for a while, and then they've come back in full force now, because a lot of the books that are now being published, a lot of the stories and cases that are being discussed at UFO conventions and wherever are really more contacty, where people are getting automatic writing, their telepathic communications, there's channeling, which is a throwback right back to the 1950s. And it's interesting that it's like the people who are experiencing and claiming contact right now are doing this in a vacuum, as if they had never, as if the 50s had never occurred whatsoever. And in fact, I took a look at some of the 1950s contactee cases and compared them to the 2010-ish contactee cases, and there's really no difference. So I suspect it's a manifestation of the same phenomenon, and whether we're talking, people communicating with Orthon or somebody a little more contemporary.
Brother Bogo, one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, we're seeing the same type of phenomena. So I think the abduction phenomenon peaked in the 90s, and it's really on the way out. In fact, most of the cases that I've encountered recently are more contactee rather than abductee.
Yeah. Did you see a real upswelling of cases begin?
Well, again, probably late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, so post Whitley Strieber communion then.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I mean, I remember reading Bud Hopkins' book, Missing Time, and there was a case in there that, according to the book at least, happened very close to me. And when I called him and I said, can you tell me a little bit more about this, because I could certainly assist you, he said, well, I'd actually changed the location. It didn't happen anywhere near you. But it was about that time that I started receiving many more abduction cases coming to me, and it was just a matter of trying to figure out how to help people best.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about kind of reverting back to the earlier style of UFO contacts, of course, they were highly disputed, especially contactees like George Adamski. Mm-hmm. Are people seeing gray aliens or the blonde Venusians and Martians of old? We'll have your answer in our next segment, Chris Rutkowski. We're talking about 25 years of Canadian UFO sightings, about contactees, about abductions, more to come, with Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time. Perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. An HB extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Now, when we have more than one Chris, we call Mr. O'Brien K.K. Barnes, okay?
Yes.
So we understand how that works. Chris Rutkowski is joining us. So I asked you the question about the form and nature of these new contacts. Are they seeing the same sort of beings that Adamski and Menger reported?
As a matter of fact, we are. We are seeing a lot of the blondes as opposed to the grays now. And I think that's an interesting shift, that people are reporting communications telepathically with ethereal beings, in some cases beings of a higher level of development. And certainly the impression that we're getting is that the grays are more the physical phenomena, the physical manifestations, and the other types are more the spiritual and the ethereal. So that's what's coming through from the cases that we're getting. I have to point out, though, that in the 25 years of Canadian UFO reports, a very, very small fraction are abductions and contactee cases. In fact, it's probably only enough to name on one hand. It is certainly a part of an aspect of the UFO phenomenon, which has been certainly present in Canada as anywhere else in the world.
Let's go further into the 25 years of UFO cases. Now, I was looking at the numbers of cases each year, and I noticed you had more sighting reports in 2012 and 2013 than most of the previous years. Am I looking at that correctly?
Yes. In fact, there is a peak back in 2012. We're not entirely sure why. In fact, things seem to have gone down a little bit since then, but even so, last year was still one of the highest numbers on record. Cases in general, in fact, it was interesting to read some of the reports and stories that have been in the news and some of the UFO publications about UFO reports seem to be on the decline. There's hardly any reported anymore, etc. When in fact, if you actually look at the data, the numbers are increasing, have been increasing fairly constantly since the 90s. We began the Canadian UFO survey in the late 1980s. Things have certainly increased fairly steadily since then. Now, one can point to the wider use of the internet. One can point to a number of ways in which people can report UFOs now. And back in the 80s and early 90s, people were limited, not exclusively, but phone calls and telexes and letters and that type of thing. With the internet, becoming so widely used back in the 90s and is blossoming now, it's so easy for people to report UFO sightings, and they are reporting them in great numbers to a number of UFO websites. So that's part of it. Although when you look at the various sources that we're relying upon, that seems to remain fairly constant. So I would have to say that the numbers of UFO reports themselves are going up. Is it that people are seeing more things, or are they paying more attention? I like to say that we're living in the Steven Spielberg generation, or maybe the Michael Bay generation. I'm not sure. It's a later generation. But in a generation where aliens are a commonplace, they're widely accepted, it's assumed that the aliens are out there and would want to visit Earth. So with that background now, I think people are spending some time looking up with the understanding that maybe some of those lights and things moving up there may be aliens. And, I know somebody who wants to hear about it because I saw it on a website, so I'll report it. So there's a number of factors at work here. But the reality is that over the past 25 years, we've received and looked at around 15,000 UFO reports in Canada. And that's actually more than Project Blue Book looked at during its run, which is quite interesting. I think their run was about 18 or 19 years. Ours is 25, so it's a little bit off. But when you look at the fact that they have the entire resources of the United States Air Force at disposal, whereas ufology research has been largely just consisting of a few investigators here and there and dedicated individuals who have been spending some time looking at cases themselves without any monetary gain or resources at all.
Now, let's look at something else. Now, in the Project Blue Book report, there were 701 unexplained cases, which was 20-some-odd percent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what percentage of those cases that you explored do you regard as unknowns?
We had a first pass, and I think it was something like 13 or 14% unknown. So we actually had a little bit lower than Blue Book. But once we actually started looking into those cases, and we spent some time going through them, as a matter of fact, my colleagues, Jeff Dittman and Ashley Kitcher, spent some time in my living room going through case after case after case of all the high-quality unknowns, looking for the best of the best of the best. It was interesting to look through some of them and being a little more discriminating. And we brought that down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 1% or 2%. Now, that seems low when you consider the Project Blue Book unknowns were 20%. But even the 1%, when you're looking at 15,000 cases, is still very, very significant. And when we talk about the high-quality unknowns, you have to remember that these are cases that were investigated by civilians. So in many cases, we don't have Air Force reports and analysis and discussion between various individuals in military observations and that type of thing. But we have cases that may contain government investigation, RCMP investigation by the Air Force, cases where there's evidence, cases where there's a lot of documentation as to what happened and no questions, sometimes physical evidence, often photographic evidence. And so we were perhaps a little more discriminating than Project Blue Book, and yet we still were left with a very, very significant number of cases, which are a little head-scratching.
Okay, looking at these numbers here. Now, did you get any cooperation at all from your Air Force in putting this information together?
Well, I have to say that cooperation is an odd way of putting it, but yeah, I would say that we had some good cooperation from the Canadian Armed Forces, as we did from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Transport Canada, which is the Canadian equivalent of the FAA, and a number of other organizations. And the reason we can say that is because we actually do have these reports. In fact, up until about 1995, so as the study was running and winding down, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had a directive to investigate UFOs on behalf of the Canadian National Research Council, which would have kind of be the equivalent of the Smithsonian in the States, because they were trying to locate some meteorites. And the idea is that a lot of UFOs in the sky were nothing more than meteors and fireballs, and if you followed all the witness reports and directions and that type of thing, you'd eventually find a meteorite on the ground, which would be valuable to science. And that actually happened in a couple of cases where witness reports were able to allow astronomers to find a meteorite on the ground. Now, what happened was is that in about 1995-ish or so, the individuals in charge of the meteoritics in the National Research Council passed away in some cases and lost funding, and it just the entire Canadian Space Agency changed direction. So the RCMP were no longer required to do that. However, the reports continued to come in, because people were used to, you know, reporting UFOs to RCMP and Air Force and so forth. And I remember meeting, because my background is in astronomy, I was at a meeting of astronomers in Ottawa, and I remember meeting with someone from the National Research Council complaining bitterly about these UFO cases coming in. I said, well, you know, if you want, you can always send them to me, because I'm interested in what people are reporting, and maybe we can still find some meteorites. And it was a few years later, I think it was 2000, when I started getting reports that were filed and made available to various government, Canadian government organizations. And so for, you know, for times after that, I sort of became the Fox Mulder of Canada, where I actually was getting, you know, reports from Air Force officers, RCMP, and so forth. And all the RCMP cases up until 1995 had always been made available to Canadian citizens. In other words, there was no disclosure necessary, because the reports that were filed made their way into the National Archives, which were always available. And what's happened is that over the past, I guess, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the National Archives has been digitizing their collection. And all the reports since then have been made available as well. So disclosure isn't an issue in Canada with regard to these cases, because we have the RCMP, RCAF, and other cases that are widely available.
Let's do the break here.
Okay.
Chris Rutkowski telling us about 25 years of Canadian UFO reports, some 15,000 cases in all. With Gene and K.K. Barnes, sometimes known as Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials,
commercials.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do.
When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.